KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 12 degrees above zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy here today with a chance of light snow later this afternoon, a high around 20. In local news, the Atlantic School District's Board of Education Wednesday evening approved an early retirement request from full-time TAG coordinator for K-12, middle school STEM teacher and 8th grade volleyball coach Joanne Sandage. Superintendent Mike Amstein said that brings the number of early retirement applications to the predetermined level of 10 employees. And the board had set the deadline for the incentive as February 1st, but they agreed to accept Sandage's application because of what Amstein said were extenuating circumstances.
We did contact our board attorney to ask a few questions. Number one, he said certainly the board has the authority to waive the deadline for this early retirement offering. It would not impact any other early retirement packet that the board might do in the future.
The board also discussed the possibility of bringing an income surtax for the physical plant and equipment levy, or PEPL, back to the voters sometime this year. Last September, you may recall, the voters rejected a public measure to add an income tax surcharge component to the district's physical plant and equipment levy. The result, though, was a tight race with 452 no votes to 443 yes votes, or about 49.5% of the voters approving of the measure. Amstein said the board needs to revisit the matter for several reasons.
Right now, with our voted PEPL the way it is, the only source of revenue for our voted PEPL is property tax. With an income surtax, it gives you the ability to have more flexibility on what you can do with your tax levy.
Board Secretary and District Business Manager Mary Beth Fast said the maximum surtax the district could impose, if approved, is 10%. And even if the district requested a 9% surtax, that would generate $300,000 and make for a 67 cents difference in property tax relief. Board member Dr. Keith Swanson said the last surtax asking was, quote, so poorly sold to the public he couldn't believe it, meaning it wasn't explained well at all. Fast agreed the voters need to understand the surtax would reduce the property tax asking. Fast and Amstein will look into when the surtax could come up for a vote and report back to the board during their next regular meeting. Mike Amstein said that if the state legislature fails to set the supplemental aid by the time the district's budget is prepared, as was the case last year, the district therefore has to base its budget on the worst case scenario, or 0% aid. The percentage of state aid will impact how much tax levy or property tax rate will be for patrons of the Atlantic School District.
At 0%, you're looking at $15.70. At 1%, the tax rate drops to $15.49. At 2%, the tax rate drops to $15.28. And that's about where we currently are right now in that area. If you get 3%, it drops to $15.07. And these are just estimations, too, by the way. And if you get 4%, $14.87. So when you take a look at the span of 0 to 4% state supplemental aid, it has a huge impact on what the board is able to do with the tax rate and the flexibility that it's able to give you.
And Amstein said even after the district certifies its budget by April 15th, the tax rate can be lowered if the percentage of state aid increases, but they can't raise the levy rate if the aid falls below the current 2%. That's why they assume, unless the legislature decides before the end of March, that the state amount of state aid will be 0%. The Board of Supervisors in Adair County have set their regular meeting on March the 2nd at 9:30 a.m. as the date and time for a public hearing on the county's fiscal year 2017 budget. The hearing will take place in the boardroom at the Adair County Courthouse in Greenfield. The board received several departmental budget proposals over the past few weeks, and after crunching the numbers, the Adair County supervisors have set the tax asking at $6.42 per $1,000 valuation for urban taxpayers, which is about the same as last year. Rural property taxpayers would pay $10.37 per thousand, or an increase of 6 cents per $1,000 over last year. The Cass County Board of Supervisors met in a regular session Wednesday morning, and prior to the start of the session, 5th District Supervisor Frank Waters from Cumberland announced that he would be running for re-election in advance of the June 7th primary, and if re-elected, it would be Waters' third term in office. In other business, the board accepted two bids for two replacement projects. A state bid letting was set January 17th on two bridges, number 347 and number 20. Cass County engineer Charles Marker said there were two bids for the 347 project located in the northeast part of the county on the Cass-Ottoman County line near what's known locally as the Tree in the Road. Both bids from Gus Construction and Casey and Murphy Construction in Oneida, he said, came in over the engineer's estimate of almost $321,594.
We have an engineer's estimate, which is what we had worked up earlier. BidX is how they bid on the state level, so we went into the state bidding for last year to get what they had for unit prices on each of these items we had. And then, of course, you've got the bids from the two contractors up there. The actual low bid was 34% higher than the engineer's estimate. However, when you look at BidX bid, it is only 10% above the BidX bid. With what we had put in the budget, we had $320,000 in amendment number one for the cost of this, so it is actually coming in above our estimate and above our amendment, but we have money available for it.
Parker says he's crunched the numbers and still doesn't understand why the bids for both projects came in much higher than estimated.
It's so finicky right now, I can't find out why, and I'll show you, especially on the next bid we got, that I don't know if it's because for many years we did not have enough projects, we didn't have the money. The gas tax wasn't here, we didn't have the money. Many of the contractors reduced their staff to a bare bones minimum. Now we're coming out with more projects. And yeah, one of them I talked to already has five major projects lined up, and it's only January.
And Marker recommended, and the bridge number 347 contract was awarded to Gus Construction for slightly more than $433,033. That was about $2,000 less than the bid from Murphy's. 80% of the cost is paid by the county's highway bridge fund, the remaining 20% from the road use tax or property tax, all of which is included in Marker's budget. Marker said there was only one bid, that being from Gus Construction for the bridge number 20. Triple concrete box culvert construction project located about 2 miles south of Cumberland. The bid was $559,700.
Again, this is above the engineer's estimate by 26%. It's still 20% above what we figure is BidX bids.
And another business, the Cass County Supervisors approved a resolution adopting an indigent disposition, that being burial and cremation policy, which pays benefits to a funeral home for funeral or cremation services for any eligible Cass County resident up to a maximum of $1,500, and that would include the mandatory medical examiner certification fee. Determination of eligibility for disposition services will be made by the Cass County General Assistance or Veterans Affairs offices. The family or friends of a deceased individual who apply for burial or cremation service are responsible for the purchase of a cemetery space or lot and interment. As an option, cremains may be returned to the family or friends by making an application for a disposition. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.